the message that I wanted to bring today, I guess I would title it Owning Your Life Message, or What is Your Life Message? And, you know, as God always does, during worship, so many things that I wanted to say, Pastor Lena said, different people said, and so it comes together perfectly. I don't know why I'm ever surprised that that happens, because, of course, it's the same Holy Spirit, and so Pastor Lena doesn't know anything about what I'm teaching today, and so it was cool some of the things that she said. When I say life message, our life message is, from day one, when we started serving the Lord, all of the things that He has done in our life, the healing that He has brought in our hearts, the way that He's changed our thinking, the areas where He's set us free, healing in our bodies, whatever He has done, it tells a story of how God feels about His people, about who God is, what His heart is. It's something that's not only for us. You know, God does those things because He loves us so much. He adores us. But He wants to do more through those areas. It's a testimony to people. People can see when you come to the Lord and you change, it's a testimony to people of, oh, is this what God does? Is this who God is? Is this how God feels about me or could do for me? We walk around with these messages that our life speaks. And it's, you know, both our words, it's things that we can tell people about, that we can speak forth. And it's also just our life, the things that we live out, especially day after day, year after year, the change that people see, you know, that is part of our life messages as well. And so there's power in that. In the areas where we have victory, there is great value. And one word that God has been speaking to me a lot lately is multiplication. It's like He touches our lives. He heals an area, right? It's like a gift that He gives us. It's like a seed. And He wants to touch that and multiply it and do it for other people. Because He does it for us first because He adores us so much. He loves us so much. But guess what? He loves everybody else too. And, you know, we are called to be wise stewards of the things that God blesses us with, to take care of the things God has blesses us with. Well, think of that. Like if God heals you in your heart from, you know, some hurt, That's a gift. That's a blessing to you. But God can take that and do more if we let Him. And so that's sort of the overview of what I wanted to talk about today. Your victory carries great value. And you carry authority in the areas where you have received victory. So when you receive freedom in an area, you carry authority. You have the ability to help somebody else that needs freedom in that area too. Our life messages are for, you know, I've said it's what we speak and it's what our lives show. And the messages are for people who don't know the Lord to bring them to Him. And it's for the people that do know the Lord to see in you how God is working to encourage them for their breakthrough, for their healing. So it goes both ways. But the Lord is pulling me more towards bringing people that don't know Jesus to Jesus. And that is just big on my heart. And it seems like it goes along with worship as well. Your message is unique to you. It's powerful. It's, I just hear that word unique. You know, sometimes it's easy to start comparing our stories, our lives to other people and think, well, man, God delivered them from this. And that's such a huge thing. You know, our stories are unique and God made us unique. And that makes it special. But just because we're unique doesn't mean that there isn't somebody else out there that needs what we have received. This year was kind of significant for me because I celebrated 20 years serving the Lord. And it's been just kind of a sweet season of thinking back about all that He's done, thinking about the future. You know, I've been spending time just letting God change up my dreams, my vision for the future of what He has called for, you know, me and my family. And so He spoke this word to me, you know, what is your life message? And so I started to write down all the things that He has done in my life, starting from the very beginning. And I'm listing and I'm listing, and it's going on. And it's amazing once you really start thinking about it, writing it down, listing it. Wow, I mean, even if you've only been saved for a week, I remember the first huge part of my list was just like, you know, week one. and God started to speak to me that, you know, God wants to use all those different pieces to bring people to him. It's part of your life message, and I carry it around all the time, and just that he wants to open up opportunity for us to share that life message with other people and bring people to him. So as I was evaluating, you know, what God has done in the last 20 years, he's given me the opportunity to minister to a lot of people, to speak to a lot of people, encourage people, lead people to the Lord, and I'm so grateful. But at the same time, I just was left wanting more. I wanted to reach more people, to have a greater impact on the world around me. And I know that he really wants that for all of us too. I think that there needs to be like a hunger in us to do more, to reach more people, because that's his heart. God never stops wanting people to come to him. And so if we have God's heart, that's how we should feel too. We're part of a church culture. We're blessed to be part of a church culture that is very prophetic, and it's so beautiful. I mean, we get more prophetic words than some people get in their entire life, and it gives us hope for the future. It gives us vision for these big things God wants to do. But I also think it's important for us to be careful not to think so much of those big things in the future that we're discrediting today. Because today is very important, and God wants to use us for big things right now, where we are at. It's the obedience day by day that will get us to those big things, but today is very important, and that's just always something that is on my heart. I often think about this scripture from 1 Corinthians 9:16. I have the Living Bible translation because I like it. Well, this is Paul talking. For just preaching the gospel isn't any special credit to me. I couldn't keep from preaching it if I wanted to. I would be utterly miserable. Woe unto me if I don't. And I love that. I want to be a person who, I mean, you know, Paul basically is saying, look, you know, I preach the gospel. It's who I am. It's what I'm called to do. It's part of me. If I don't do it, I'm a wreck. I'm not happy. I'm miserable. I have to do it. I'm compelled to do it. This is who God made me. And I want to be that kind of person too. I want to be unsatisfied unless I am bringing people to Jesus. I want it to be just a holy dissatisfaction, and that I never stop longing to do that even more. And I pray that for our congregation too. We're all called to that. We're called to preach the gospel to everybody. And so I just pray that for our congregation as well. People are looking for something real. I remember right before I got saved, I was driving in the car with this person that was in my life, and they had started going to church, and they wanted me to come too. And, you know, I was a teenager, and I had tons of attitude, and I'm like, why do you even go to church anyway? What is even the point? And even though I said that with much, like, disdain in my voice, I really wanted to know, is there something real? Like, why? Is there something more than this? And I think that's how so many people are. They may snarl, they may, you know, have attitude, they may have a million questions and try to, you know, negate everything you say, but really people are looking for something real. And, you know, our life messages show this is God's heart, this is how God works, this is what God could do for you, this is what God did in me. When people see real life testimonies, people walking out things that God has done in their life, that's powerful, and God can use that to bring people to him. There are so many facets to God, and the way he uniquely works in our lives gives specific glimpses of his own heart. It teaches us more about him. Even though I'm talking about bringing people to Jesus, for us that know him, for us that have been serving him a long time, God can speak through other people's circumstances and the way he's working in them to show you a different part of his heart so that you can know him more deeply, so that you can go deeper in him. And so it's not just for the unbelievers, you know, it's for all of us. It can encourage us and strengthen us and help bring us to our own places of breakthrough. We can look at his heart. This is his heart shown by demonstration. God's reign in our lives is meant to tell the story of who he is and how he feels about his people. So we can look at anybody's life, anybody that serves the Lord, we can look at their life and get messages out of that, see how God has worked. So we can look at anybody in the Bible. God has been showing me to study Paul's life, really for the first time in probably my whole Christian walk. Not that I didn't know about Paul and read Paul's, you know, writings. I just didn't focus specifically on him and his life. If you think about Paul's life, You know, he was raised a certain way. He was taught a certain way. His whole life, his whole culture, he believed certain things were right, certain things were correct. And he believed it so wholeheartedly that he violently opposed people who believed differently. We all know that Paul, you know, persecuted the Christian church. He was Saul back then. He was such a different person. He had a different name. Saul of Tarsus, he persecuted the Christian church. He did everything in his power to fight against all the Jesus people, to fight against Jesus, you know, the cause of Jesus himself. He, you know, was passionate. He was violent. He was adamant. He was feared. Everybody knew him. And then he had this encounter with God that was so profound. You know, God encountered him, spoke to him, blinded him for a time, and said, look, I'm the one that you're persecuting. I'm real. And it changed everything for him. And if you think about Paul's life, you know, he was so wrapped up in the culture that he was raised in. For him to go back to them and say, yeah, talk to Jesus, I was wrong. I mean, could you imagine, I mean, I'm making light of it, but could you imagine the shift that his life had to take, the relationships that he was in that had to end? I'm sure there are many, I know there are many, that said, wow, if Saul of Tarsus says Jesus is real, had this encounter with him, then it must be real. I want to serve this Jesus too. But there were probably lots of people who said, Saul, what are you doing? Have you lost your mind? And completely disagreed with him, did not want to believe, turned away from him. And those relationships were cut off. So much of his previous life was cut off, and he had to walk away from relationships. I mean, could you imagine just very close relationships, family, best friends, people you love? That's it. But Saul became Paul, and he turned, and he served the Lord wholeheartedly, just as passionately as he had fought against the Christians. He was now serving Jesus and bringing people to him, building up the Christian church. I mean, what a complete turnaround and a complete opposite. And, you know, a lot of things came against him. It was not easy. He had every excuse in the world to want to give up. He was in jail. He was persecuted, all these different things. But he did not give up. He kept going. And so I think there are like a million things that we could take out of Paul's life. But, you know, what do you think are a few things that you would initially say? You know, I take away that God can change absolutely anyone. So there is nobody that is too far gone. You know, if we may not have people in our lives like Saul, you know, where you're to the point of persecuting Christians like that, but you may know somebody who's just adamantly against all things of God. You know, the biggest atheist you know, the biggest whatever you know that is completely against Jesus, nobody is too far gone. And not only did he turn to the Lord, he gave his whole life to serve him. I mean, it's amazing. That testimony in itself is huge, that nobody is without hope, basically. I can take away from his life that God is so worth it. You know, I think that tells people that Jesus is so real, that Paul was willing to let everything go and walk away and start a whole new life, that Jesus was worth it, because that was not easy. It was not easy for him to go to end those relationships, to end his prior life, to become a new person. I'm sure there was great joy that he experienced, of course, as well, knowing the Lord, of course, but it was not an easy transition, I would imagine. But he turned and he served him for the rest of his life with all his heart, despite whatever came. And so that's just one person. Those are just a couple points. But, you know, we can look at anybody's life and get a glimpse of God's heart, can see what God can do and know God more deeply. In my life, I wanted to share just a piece of something that God's done in my life. One of the things that God really healed in my heart was just having very low self-esteem, low self-worth. And my background is growing up, my biological father, I never met him. He didn't choose to be in my life at all. And so I had this root of rejection from the very beginning. And I had a loving family that tried to make the best of our situation, but My childhood was very unstable, very tumultuous, always changing. You know, there were marriages and divorces and another marriage, another divorce, you know, moving around all the time, always the new kid at school. You know, it was really a difficult time. And, you know, it didn't help that I was like a little overweight. I was, you know, shy. And, you know, when you're a teenager, those things are very hard. And so when I came to the Lord, one of the things that he did in my heart was, I mean, just a huge healing of giving me a sense of self-worth, of value, that my life had purpose, because I felt so just like, why am I even here? What is even the point of my life? That I wasn't alone, that he was never going to leave me or forsake me, that he loved me with an unconditional love. These things sound so simple to us because we've been serving the Lord a long time, but when you get a hold of those for the first time, they are life-changing and revolutionary. And so for the first time, I felt these things, and I had hold of these truths like never before. And so it was so, so powerful in me. And so that was like 20 years ago. And so, you know, as time goes on, you know, God does these big things in our lives, and we become more familiar with them. We become more comfortable with them. And they become kind of like less of a big deal, you know? And so my daughter, my oldest daughter, Haven, she's learning how to read right now. So in school, they have journals at school. So she's been asking me about journals. And I was a big journal keeper growing up, you know, writing out all of my, you know, things that I was going through, things I was feeling. And we were organizing my closet the other day. And I just saw, like, my box of journals, and I hadn't looked at them in so long. Now, I mean, I write stuff, but it's more just, like, spiritual stuff. I'm not writing out all my feelings about everything in the world like you are when you're growing up, you know? So I happened to grab this one that was from ninth grade, which is a tough time for everybody, I think. And, oh, man, I mean, I started to read it, and I was shocked. I'm like, oh, my gosh, if Havens learns how to read, I have to hide these because these are horrible on a lot of levels. But, you know, there it was comical, but so pathetic and sad. I mean, oh my gosh, could you imagine this like super insecure, emotionally wounded, you know, teenager with daddy issues? I mean, oh my goodness. And so the gist of what I started reading was, I mean, I couldn't even believe that I thought this way. It's so far removed from who I am now. But anyways, so what I was reading was, I remember, you know, I was like, oh, I like this guy at school, blah, 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 but he would never like me. He would, you know, I basically was like, oh, why would anyone like me? I mean, I'm completely, you know, bleh, worthless and, you know, this sad, you know, pathetic thing. But at the time it was very serious. Now it sounds pretty funny, but at the time I'm like, oh, I'm just worthless. Why would any boy ever like me? and I remember that was ninth grade. And then a couple years later, you know, started to change a little bit, started to lean down, look a little different, and then guys started to pay attention to me. So I'm like, great. And so I had guys interested in me. But all of my self-esteem and self-worth was wrapped up in the approval of people in those relationships. So if a guy liked me, I felt on top of the world. But if I got rejected, I mean, I was absolutely crushed. And I'm reading these journals, and I'm just like, oh, my goodness. And, you know, looking back, it's been so long, I forgot that I went through that. I forgot that I felt that. But along the years, I've seen how God has opened up opportunities and doors for me to minister to people. They may not be a teenager, but they have issues with, you know, I didn't have a dad, and it's affected me my whole life. You know, I had all this instability growing up. You know, I have low self-esteem. I have a poor self-worth. I've been able to bring hope to them, to bring ministry to them, to help them to be healed in that area because I carry authority in that area. But I think it's important for us to go back and remember, to remember what God has done, because reading that journal was actually so valuable to me because I'm like, oh, I remember this. This was huge in my life at the time. And now God has done such a healing. I often hear people say, you know, oh, you know, God healed me, and that feels like that was another person, you know, that went through that, not even me. And not that we want to linger on the past, but we need to remember what God has done so that we can own and know, oh, I have authority in this area. I had a victory in this area, and I can bring this to other people. So I wanted to talk about, you know, cultivating our life message. I would encourage you to spend time with the Lord, as I said, remembering. And there's something about writing things down. It's not just about like, oh, I remember this. Spend time praying and write down from the beginning, what has God done in my life? What has God healed in my heart? What has God changed in my thinking? And these are like tools that you have where you, God can use those to make much impact. And so we have to own those things and take ownership of that. You know, I said, you know, the title of my message is Owning Your Life Message. Well, you can have all these things that God has done in your life, but if you don't ever pay attention to them or remember them or use them for any good, we're not owning them. But God wants to do so much more. And so the first thing we have to do is just take ownership of that. As I said earlier, God wants us to be wise stewards of what he's blessed us with, and the things he's done in us are no different. It's our responsibility to steward these things. And then we need to ask God for opportunity. Sometimes we just need to have the faith to believe for God to do something. You know, what if we all just believe God for one person in the next week, in the next month, that he would bring into our path, that we could encounter in whatever way he wants to do it. And we could bring the authority that we have in an area where we have victory and bring it to them and bring healing, bring breakthrough, bring them to Jesus if they don't know him. Sometimes we just have to ask God, you know, and step out in faith and believe for that thing. I had somebody pray for me a few months ago, somebody that didn't know me at all. And it was really special because she started listing all of these different things that were in my heart. And she basically said, God wants that for you too. He's on your side, and those things make him happy. Those things that you care about, that you want, that makes him happy, and he's with you. And I don't know why that sounds so simple, but yet that's so profound. Sometimes when we are asking God for things, we're praying for things, we're like, oh God, please do this, please do this. And sometimes we need to remind ourselves and get an understanding that, oh, God wants that for us too. God is on our side. He wants that. That makes him happy. When you want that, he's like, yes, that's what I want too. And so sometimes we have to remind ourselves of that. So in asking God to open up opportunities to do this, it's not just like, oh, please, God, do this thing. He's like, yep, that's my will anyway. So great. I'm glad that you're in agreement with me. And he wants to do that thing. This scripture came to me as I was getting this ready. There's a lot that the enemy would do to try to hinder you from being able to use your life messages for God's glory. We are not ignorant of the enemy's devices, is what I wrote down. So if there's areas where you know God could use you, but something is holding you back, ask the Holy Spirit to show you how the enemy would thwart God's plan to use your life message. Do you have feelings of insignificance? Do you have feelings of shame? Like, God did this thing, but I still feel shame about how, you know, he's forgiven me and he's healed me, but I still feel shame. I don't want to tell anybody about what God has done. Or do you feel like, you know, my stuff is not that exciting. My stuff is not that big. God's done greater things than other people. I'll leave that to somebody else. Every single person's message is important and can be used by God. And there is somebody else out there that needs what you have, basically. If you feel disqualified, identify the lie that the enemy is trying to paralyze you with. I'll say that again. Identify the lie that the enemy is trying to paralyze you with. And as I was praying, I could see somebody being shot with a stun gun, like being left helpless and unable to move forward. And I could see the enemy doing that to people. And so God has these treasures in us that he wants to activate. He wants to take those things that he's done in you and multiply them, multiply, multiply. What you have to say is important. What you live out in your life is important. Don't think you are not important. Don't think what God has done is not important. We have to maintain a sense of respect, awe, and wonder for the things God has done, because it could be absolutely life-changing and revolutionary for someone else to receive that. They may not know that God can do that for them, so they need to be told. They may not believe that God can do that, so they need to see evidence that he can, so their faith can be built up. So I bring this message very humbly. You know, this is something that God's been speaking to my heart. He's still working it out in me. I haven't perfected everything in my life in this area, but I'm so hungry to see God move in this area. Because like I said before, I want to have a greater impact on the world around me. Our lives are so full of purpose, and that's one of the biggest lies of the enemy, that God will get us so distracted that we're just living life and not fulfilling our purpose. And God wants to stir in us a desire to do everything that he's called and created us to do. What God has done in our lives is a really big deal. And he wants to do that in other people's lives as well. And every single day, we carry our life messages with us. They are full of power. And if we open ourselves up to it, God can use them and truly turn what the enemy meant for evil into good. And so I want to have a prayer time. I know we have like a few minutes left. A time of prayer and activation. That was one of the words that I got. That this would be activated in us. And we'll just see whatever the Holy Spirit does.